Congratulations. We have concluded the full list of the 64 elements of devotional service. And the last five are selected out of those 64 as the most powerful elements. So how do we define power of these elements? We have to remember what is the definition of bhakti yoga sadhana to determine the power of these sadhana elements, of these sadhanas. So, what is the definition of bhakti yoga sadhana? Anybody remembers? This is bhakti ruttama. This is bhakti in general, in all three levels. There are three levels of bhakti. What are the three levels of bhakti? These are three levels of candidates for bhakti. And three levels of bhakti itself?
Sadhana,
bhava, and prema. Exactly, yes. So therefore, sadhana is defined how? Hare Krishna. So there are two kinds of sadhanas. One is raganuga, yeah, which does not base itself on rules and regulations, although it usually follows the same guidelines, but more spontaneously, and vaidhi, but these are two forms of sadhana. Otherwise, anybody remembers something else about definition of sadhana? Yes. And the goal is Krishna prema. Or here we have kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava. Sadhana vida. This is the definition from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that sadhana is that which it is the activity performed by the mind and senses. So mind is important. Activity performed by mind and senses, which has the goal of reaching bhava, sadhya bhava. Bhava being the initial stages of prema, or the beginning of love of Krishna. So this is the activity performed by mind and senses. I remember when I studied the first time Bhakti Shastri, for me this was a big revelation, that mind has to be also used in sadhana. And the goal is bhavan, or beginning of love of Krishna. So this is sadhana. So in other words, you can see mind has to be engaged and the goal has to be set. So you don't have sadhana without a sadhya, without a goal. There must be goal. And also this is something that makes your practice more inspired if you have a clear goal. And this also is what makes our practice mechanical or dry when we forget the goal. When we just remember, when we do it as a routine. Okay, this is what I do, and then it becomes dry. Routine becomes dry. No juice. So that's one way to counteract the feeling of dryness in routine performance. So sadhana. Also, it's important to remember that raga nuga is also sadhana. It's not perfection, even though this spontaneous, inspired by Vrindavan form of bhakti is more rare than bhava, which is very rare in Vaidhi bhakti. Do you remember? Still, raga nuga is also sadhana. So both are sadhanas. But they are motivated by different impetuses, inspired by different impetuses. So in Vaidhi, what are, do you remember, what are the things motivating us?
Rules and regulations in scriptures?
Scriptures, yes. Rules and regulations in scriptures, yes. What else could you... So Shastra. You can also express your guess. So, Vaidi, how to say, motivation or impetus. So the one is Shastra. Something else?
Yes.
Can think of? Tell me. Yes, guru. Yes, so we can say order of guru. So guru, guru's orders, and one is fear. That's mentioned. It's a good fear, fear of samsara. Healthy fear, not unhealthy fear of conditioned life of samsara. Another one is logic. It makes sense. It makes best sense to engage in service of Krishna. Whereas, so this is Vaidhi. Whereas Raganuga, by definition, it's just attraction. You just like it. It has doesn't need any of these. So therefore... It's a little funny when there are some Gaudiya Vaishnava groups which make Raganuga, they are preaching, recruiting technique. They come and say, are you practicing Raganuga? Oh, you are not practicing Raganuga. You will go to Vaikuntha and not Goloka Vrindavan. And all the Shastra, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, you must practice Raganuga, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And it's the highest, it's Vrindavan, it's, just think about this, it's logical. So it's very funny because it shows that all the arguments they use are in fact for Vaidhi. Fear, logic, Shastra, and all of these things which doesn't have anything to do with Raganuga. Raganuga doesn't need any of those. Because it's just inspiration through attraction to Krishna. Yeah. Okay, so this is sadhana. But at any rate, it's aiming at bhava on the Vaidhi side and on the Vaidhi stage to be helped by these other things, logic, healthy fear of materialistic life and Shastra. On Raganuga side, it will be just attraction, we just like Vrindavan pastimes. But the goal is bhava. So, therefore, how do you demonstrate the power of some sadhana? You demonstrate how it can produce bhava quickly. And how it can bring the ecstasy of the blossoming preliminary stages of bhava, of love of Godhead. So the first paragraph here, you can see Srila Prabhupada translates. Rupa Goswami has stated that five kinds of devotional activities, namely residing in Mathura, worshipping the deed of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee, that's sadhusanga, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra are so potent that a small attachment for any of these five items can arouse devotional ecstasy even in a neophyte. Where is bhava hidden here? Where do you have bhava in this sentence? Devotional ecstasy. Yes, devotional ecstasy. So these five, it's very helpful to know you know, the best, most powerful techniques. And also it's repeated and emphasized so much that we must know. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami himself, he writes a beautiful verse about these five processes, repeated in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, where this verse is spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it might be coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually. So he says, Duruhad Bhuta Viryasmin. So Uha means spoken. Adbhuta, you may know the meaning, is adbhuta, wonderful, yes. So, and dur means difficult. So, duruha adbhuta viryas, meaning, he says it's very difficult to describe the wonderful power of these five processes. They are so powerful. Amazingly powerful. It's very difficult to even describe how powerful they are. Shraddha durestu panchake. Even if a person doesn't have shraddha, is far from shraddha, that means that the person doesn't have proper knowledge. Because shraddha and knowledge are connected. So faith and knowledge are connected. Because our faith is not just a belief, it's an informed decision. That's shraddha. So this is why it says here, neophyte. Shraddha dure. When even durestu, even if you are far from shraddha, which is like you haven't even started the process, because the process starts with shraddha. Yeah, so basically it means like even without really practicing it properly, it's not even sadhana. Without shraddha, it's not even sadhana. Yatra svalpo pi sambandha, if there is su alpa, very little connection. This is a helpful, important word to know if you are in Bengal and they serve you prasad, alpa, a little. That's an important word because otherwise they give you a lot. Oftentimes. So you say alpa, alpa. Sometimes they still give you a lot. But so su alpa, even if there is sambandha, very little connection, just a little touch of these five. Sadhyam bhavajanmane. This little touch is enough to bhavajanmane, to give birth to bhava, devotional ecstasy. Sadhyam, there's a catch, yeah. Sadhyam. For people who are sadhyam. So sometimes it says inoffensive, sometimes it says just good people or poshten, yes? It's like it's decent person. How do you say decent? Decent. Pristoyny. Yeah, so decent. Just a decent person. Just be, you know, if a person just is a normally decent person, you know, honest, sincere. Meaning he's not a rascal, crooked rascal. Then, just a little touch is enough to give birth to bhava. And, I mean, this is something you can see like very easily. Just today we were in Harinam, and you can see some people start dancing, smiling, jumping, waving hands. Yeah, some little child was following us, clapping. Is he connected somehow? Is this? Did you see this little child? First, he was in helmet, this bicycle helmet. Then he was without again on the other when we were going back. And this dog, yes. Every time, he just, you know, the master was pulling him away, and he was no, I want to be there. And so this big, nice dog. That's golden retriever. I thought they are leaner. It's quite massive. Even the dog, you can see. It's of course, he was always checking. Do they have those things that they carry with them? But he obviously, he would not let the master to go away. He was following like all the time, pulling the, and when at the end already we were parting, then you could see he was very reluctant. The dog really didn't want to. He was saying, maybe we can go to them. Bhakti Sarup Chaitanya Maharaj told me that in Lithuania there is one family who are nice devotees, all initiated. So they say they were made devotees by their child. When the child was a baby in a stroller. So when there was a Harinam on the street, he would immediately, you know, would be very happy at the Harinam. And as soon as they would try to go away, he would, ah! So they had to go after the Harinam all the time. Every time there was a Harinam, they just tried to pull. No, he's crying. He's happy only if they go after Harinam. So, you know, after a few sessions like this, then they got a book and something else, they became devotees. So they say, he made us a devotee. He made us devotees. Yeah, many are obviously having some connection from before. So you can see many people. And what to speak about. So this is people who know nothing. Even people who know nothing. I mean, even a dog. Okay, maybe he knows something. I don't know. How do I know? Maybe that's because sometimes some special personalities may come in different special forms. But no, more often than not, it could be just an ordinary, or maybe not even ordinary, but just a dog. And obviously you can see, I mean, at least, you know, the drunks there, usually near this, is it cathedral or what's this? This
is
yeah, this, and the church behind, what's the name of that church? Is it St. It's cathedral, no? Cathedral? Grazia. How is it? Yes.
That's St.
Francis
Church.
St. Francis, yeah. Somehow or other, it's a favorite for some funny people sitting on the bench down there. But they also, you know, dance and. And different, you can see many different people, they will often spontaneously react. So that's Harinam. That's Harinam, that's devotees, Vrindavan, the Bhagavatam, or Shastra. So what are the five? Without looking, who remembers the five? Again, yes. Yes, Mathura, or Mathura Vas, or Vraja Mandala. Yes, Vrindavan. So these are, yeah, that was the... How? Deities, yes. Mathura Vas. Vas means residing or visiting. Mathura means Vraja Mandala. Yes. Then deities, worshipping the deities. That's called Archana. Also, I have seen that in Slovenia people are very pious because when we had this Gornitai on that special wheelchair, it was a wheelchair or something, yeah? How people also are, they are attracted. Sometimes, yeah, people are quite attracted by the deities. There are some cases where people are feeling some special change in heart by seeing the deities. Okay, so Mathura Vas, Archana, then? Yes, name and the Bhagavatam. So, holy name, Nama Kirtan, and Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sadhusanga. Yeah, so these are the five. Even a little touch of these can produce ecstasy in people. And then we will have this chapter basically demonstrates because bhava is marked by some softening of heart. The first ray of Krishna prema touches the heart and it starts softening. And that's the essence. But it will manifest in nine qualities that we will have it in chapter 18. Nine qualities. So therefore, how bhava will be demonstrated here? It will be demonstrated by how one of those nine qualities is manifest. Any questions here? Yes. Yes, in the previous chapter. Yes. That's Vishwanath. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. He says that if even association with a sadhaka can produce such great, give such great blessings, what to speak about more advanced? Yeah, this is the famous Radhanath Swami's community formula of 60 and 20 and 20, which is quite a striking formula. So it means 60% of equal association, 20% of senior association and 20% of junior, meaning preaching. So you can see it's quite interesting how much depends on our friendships. This is a source of inspiration and oftentimes a proof of our passing from Kanishta Bhakta to Madhyam Bhakta, that we can accept somebody as equal and tolerate them and be friendly with them in Krishna consciousness. So that's Radhanath Swami's formula there. Then there is one more interesting thing regarding who gives what. So of course we want association of Premi Bhaktas, and we can get association of Premi Bhaktas. For example, in the Bhagavatam, right? When we listen to the Gopi Gita, we are associating with the top Premi Bhaktas. Let me find. So this is from Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Premi Bhakta has unlimited power, and if he wants to give mercy, he can transfer his power to any type of person. So Premi Bhakta can give any level to any person. Still, it doesn't mean it will happen. Like, for example, Srila Prabhupada had 5,000 disciples, out of which initiated disciples, and about 10,000 altogether. as he was present. Then he left, and only about 500 were left, about 10%. So, of course, we can see that with time, I understand they come back. I don't know exactly how many, hopefully all of them, maybe, after, you know, whatever they are dealing with, whatever, doubts, desires, or whatever. Niranjana Maharaj, I remember, about 20 years ago, he said that, just wait. He said, just wait. Very soon we will have a wonderful time when we have many devotees who have a lot of experience in the material world, full realization of what material world is, and they are coming back with in a renounced life with very deep realization of the material. But still, you know, we can assume that Srila Prabhupada was a Premi Bhakta, empowered Premi Bhakta, empowered to, I mean, it's undeniable how he's, I mean, he did something unthinkable, spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere. And still, it was not just a cinch that he just, you know, looked and made everybody drowning in prema. Even Gauranga didn't do this. Even his devotees did not always do this. So therefore, this also is not certain that if you just enter the glance, the sight into the sight of a Premi Bhakta, finished, your sadhana is finished. It's not, I mean, they can, but the problem is that we will throw it away. That's the problem. It's not the problem on their side. So we need to prepare our heart as a good container. Like you have clay pots in India. So it's perfect disposable, how you call it, utensils, eatware, food, these different types of cups. You have these clay cups. They are not really baked. So therefore, they can be used. Then you throw them, and after a few weeks, they disintegrate into earth, just clay. So in the same way, if you don't have a proper pot, whatever is given to us, we may take, we may not take. So therefore, but at any rate, they can. So Premi Bhakta, they can. Then Bhava Bhakta. Bhava Bhakta. So that's this, also a very high level. So being, if they want to give mercy, there's a condition. They may want, they may have no desire like that. So when they want to give mercy, they can transfer, they can give bhava to a sadaka. So if somebody already has faith, sadaka, they are sadhana bhaktas, a bhava bhakta can raise them to bhava. And to those who are materialistic, they can give them ruchi, which is also quite nice, but still, it's some way to go. So these are bhava bhaktas. And now what about sadhakas themselves? Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Vaidi and Raganuga sadhana bhaktas can give materialistic people faith. They can give shraddha. Which means that the person can start sadhana. Right? They can get faith. And this is the most, I mean, if you have faith, you're saved. Brother, sister, you're saved. Because already, I mean, it's non-material. It's transcendental. Bhakti is transcendental from the level of shraddha. This shraddha itself is the most valuable treasure. Because it already connects you. It's a line which connects you to the spiritual world, and you're protected from this. Meaninglessness of the material existence, yeah? Which is the most the most painful aspect of material existence, meaninglessness. Yeah? No purpose. So this is Chaitanya Shikshamrita 5.1. So you can see even sadhaka can give something extremely valuable, which is shraddha. Then with that shraddha you can perform sadhana and achieve whatever. Of course bhava is not achieved just by brute force. It's not achieved just, you know, we just try harder. Even brute force of our intelligence or whatever, you know, or tapas. From our side, bhakti, from Krishna's side, mercy. And then, Shri Chaitanya Shikshamrita 5.1. I don't know what's 1. There's some kind of subsection. So chapter 5, probably first subsection. Of course. Even bhava doesn't mean it's full perfection. You already have bhava means the ray of sun of prema melts our heart. So in other words, that's already touch of transcendental inner potency of Krishna. So that's non-material. And you will definitely be able to be personally connected to Krishna. But still, the heart has not melted yet. So there is still some more to achieve prema. And then after prema, there is more. There is sneha, mana, pranaya, bhava, anubhava, raga, anuraga. I mean, there's so much fun. All the fun just begins after that. Prema is entry into the spiritual world. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, the power will be defined by how these methods lead to bhava. So because sadhana is activity with the mind and senses aimed at bhava and leading to bhava and resulting in bhava. In fact, they repeat. So in the sadhana stage, these acts are sadhana, but after bhava, all these same things are anubhavas. They are the result of your ecstasy. Like Mother Yashoda thinks of Krishna and she starts singing, or the gopis, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Out of their happiness, that's anubhava, or dancing. For us, then maybe you have this experience, dancing is the last thing you want to do. You come to the temple, you know, I have to, you know. So you come, you try to stand to the side, you know, maybe they will not notice me. You know? And then somebody, please come. Okay, you start coming. Oh, yes, Hare Krishna. But after some time, you know, you feel, Hare Krishna is better. So for us, this is a sadhana which leads to something. But for those who are perfect, that's the result of their ecstasy. So that's how this chapter will demonstrate the power of the five processes. So we have beginning with the form of the deity. Oh, and this is the very famous... I should have found Prashanta Mataji singing it She sings this so beautifully. I can't even hope to. Maybe if anybody has heard. I think we have some Vaishnavi retreat on our website. I don't know if any of you listened to it. So if somebody can find, she's singing it somewhere there at the retreat. They have the retreat right now, I think. Yeah, I think today is the last day, right? So this is a very famous verse. This is Rupa Goswami saying, "My dear friend." How you say friend in feminine? Priyatelitsa. Draga priyatelitsa. If you still have any desire to enjoy the company of your friends within this material world, and don't look upon the form of Krishna, who is standing on the bank of Kashigat. It's a bathing place in Vrindavan. He's known as Govinda, and his eyes are very enchanting. He's playing upon his flute, and on his head there is a peacock feather, and his whole body is illuminated by the moonlight in the sky. Prashanda Mataji puts it in a more funny way. She says that if you have any desire for society, friendship, and love, actually this trio Prabhupada takes from some famous English poet. Maybe some famous British poet, if anybody remembers, that Prabhupada studied in his college. So meaning material things. So then, by no means don't you ever risk going to Vrindavan. If you do go to Vrindavan, never at Kartik. If by some misfortune you somehow or other happen to be in Vrindavan in the dangerous time of Kartik, at least by no means go to Kashigat, to Vamshivat, where the yoga pit of Radha Krishna is. And even if you happen somehow by your foolishness, you happen to be there, don't look under the banyan tree at the threefold bending form of Govinda, who is moonlit and who is filling his flute with charming, bewitching, and amazing sounds, nectarian sounds. This verse is quoted in Adi 5.2-4. And the Sanskrit for this, Smiran bhangi traya parachitam sachi vistirna drishtim vamshinyasta darakishalayam ujvalam chandrakena govinda akyam haritanumita Keshi tirto pakante ma prekshishtas tavayadisake bandu sange stiranga bandu sange stiranga. So this is the praise through the opposite, through condemnation. It's like humorous condemnation about how dangerous it is to see Krishna's form. And there are stories in Vrindavan. We have stories. We had one Israeli businessman coming to Vrindavan as a tourist. And he just came to the temple and he saw Krishna Balaram and he just refused to go on. He just stayed in Vrindavan for something like 3 weeks. His group, you know, they were saying, he said, you just go, you know. I stay here. You go ahead. It sounds very funny, it's very sweet in Slovenia. Kar grejte, yeah? Kar pojdite. It's difficult to translate this exactly. You just go. And then after something like 3 weeks, the devotee started getting phone calls from Israel, from his children, saying, "What happened to our, can we, you know, Mr. such and such, you know, what happened to him?" They say he just dropped out of the group, and so very reluctantly he didn't want to go, but this and that. And as he went, he took a huge picture of Krishna Balaram. He was just a tourist, you know, just came. And you can see that sometimes people, of course, that's the special power. That's the power of this, you know, Vrindavan, Mathura, Vas. In India, it's impossible. No matter how materialistic a tourist is, it's impossible not to pass near some temple. No, or some holy place, holy sadhu's samadhi. And that gives special punya. It gives bhakti punya, like Vrindavan. It gives bhakti punya. So it gives them higher and higher qualification for one day getting the spark of bhakti. So that's the form. That's the form of the deity and Sri Murti. Prabhupada says that this is the duty of every householder to install deities of the Lord at home and to begin the process of worshipping along with all his family members. This will save everyone from such unwanted activities as going to clubs. Hare Krishna. Meaning, Prabhupada means nightclubs with, you know, disreputable nightclubs. Because, you know, there could be some nice clubs in terms of, you know, like in some places devotees have, I know in Lithuania they had club, some philosophical club or something, yeah, where they preach. Yeah, Bhakti Yoga Club in universities with devotees start off. Prabhupada means nightclubs. Cinemas and dancing parties and smoking, drinking, etc. All such nonsense will be forgotten if one stresses the worship of the deities at home. Hare Krishna. Now, this has a certain some limitations are here. It has to be taken with the blessings. It has to be done with the blessings of the spiritual master. And it should not be used as an excuse if somebody... So householder, usually, yes. But sometimes you can see that some people living on the temple premises, like near the temple or in the temple compound or something, they have sometimes even brahmacharis who have some, you know, whatever. They take it as an excuse to skip the temple programs. So that's not what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada wanted that the temple deities are the center of the community, and then everybody, if you want to worship, you can worship, take part in worshiping the temple deities, serving the temple deities. Of course, some devotees want to have, they do develop, you can see that oftentimes devotees develop very personal, intimate relationship with their deities. It's true. And I have seen. They have very personal, intimate one-on-one relationship with their deities. Shalagram Shila, Govardhan Shila, or deities, depending on the on the person. So if it is like this, okay. Still not as an excuse or replacement for temple, for the temple. It should be supposed to be the natural center. And not as a fashion. Because this is oftentimes the tendency. You know, all my friends are getting a Shalagram Shila, or, it's so cute. Ah, such a cute... Ah, I should also get 3 or 4. And then, you know, 5 years down the road, you see, it takes so much time. It's already routine. I'm used to this. No, it's like the same as family. It's lifelong commitment. Right? It's not that, okay, I like, then I look, who can I give it to? Where can I give it away? Too much trouble. It's a lifelong, like, same as family. Children, even children, they grow up one time, you know, and you can, you know, let go. But this is more than children. Even husband and wife, there can be one aprasta or something, but this is forever. This is one of the reasons, by the way, why in the classic society, a grihastha was considered the proper guru, and sannyasi was considered to be not qualified to serve as a guru. You can see that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks the famous verse, kiba vipra kiba nyasi, shudra kevenoi, jai krishna tattva veti, sei guru hoi. Whether a person is a vipra, Brahman householder, or he is a sannyasi, which is a disqualification from the classic point of view, or if he is even a shudra, big disqualification from the classic point of view, it doesn't matter. If they know the science of Krishna, jai krishna tattva veti, sei guru hoi. He's a guru. He knows the science of Krishna, he's a guru, or she's a guru. Like, yeah, so anyway, this is hot topic today. Some people made, unfortunately, this a very hot topic, lady gurus. It's no reason for this to be such a hot topic, because half of our parampara is ladies. Some lines, it's even more ladies than men in the parampara. But anyway, it's, Prabhupada was quite clear about this. No need to make any controversy. Prabhupada says, boys, girls, I want all of my disciples to be gurus. And that's my program. This is my program. Of course, by qualification, not by any external thing, but by spiritual qualification. So, deity worship. Not as a fashion, so for householder, very helpful, but responsible, so a certain standard must be there. Some gurus are very strict, like Niranjana Swami is very particular whom he allows to worship, so especially Radha Krishna, which is a higher standard for worship. It's certainly a very natural way to put Krishna in the center and develop a relationship with the Lord, of make him the Lord of the house, offer everything to him, do everything around him. But it certainly, oftentimes you can see that there can be a very high standard, which is very austere. I know, of course they don't have to have like this, but I know they have 3 to 5 offerings a day, like in the temple. I mean, Krishna eats 6 times a day. And I know grihasthas who, they have children and they have everything and they work and this, and they still keep this standard. But unless you are happy to do this for, 40 years till you go to the spiritual world, then you should be careful. For some people, it's like also in Vrindavan, I sometimes mention this, grandmother Satya. She's an amazing little old woman. Always smiling, always happy. She has probably, 300 deities. Every time she finds deities on the Yamuna bank, because every morning since last, 20 years, she takes bath in the Yamuna every day at 6 o'clock in the morning. Everybody knows her in Vrindavan already. Between Krishna Balaram and Madan Mohan, that side. Cold, hot, she's there going to the Yamuna. She has many deities and she chants 2 lakhs every day. She sleeps a few hours and she's so happy all the time. She's very simple. So, okay, someone like that, it's done happily, right? It's not a chore. Like, chore? This is undesired burden. Oh, I have to do that. Okay. So, in that case, at least Panchatattva picture, some simpler standard. Maybe Gauranga, Nityananda, they may also be served with a simpler standard and so forth. Any questions here, comments? Usually it's very tasty, and I don't know where they throw it away. It could be in some temples where it used to be a big, big temple, and they have established a very lavish standard with a lot of offerings, and then they have only 3-4 people left there living, and 2 of them became very health conscious, sometimes by force. Youthful excesses with too much halal every day of Mahavrata. I know that in German farm they would give Mahaprasad to the cows because there was so much Mahaprasad. And the cows would eat that Mahaprasad, and they would stand on their hind legs and dance. And the German veterinarian came and he said, never in my life have I seen or even thought that it's possible. Yes. I mean, what would you do if you drank a bucket of gulab jamun? I think I could dance. I remember when we had our BBT, International BBT in Sochi, this like mountain area, so locals, they just let the cows go on their own. And cows go, graze, and evening they come back. So after a short time, the cows have discovered our temple. And they would come. And first of all, they would, for the first time in their life, they would see people who don't see them as hamburgers or sausage, you know. So that in itself, they know how you see them. So that already attracted them. And then sometimes, you know, after Sunday, you have a bucket of gulab jamun syrup. I remember I once brought it out. So the cow looked okay, something is there. And then she put her mouth into the bucket, and I saw, you know, eyes like this, and then became big. Wow, this stuff is good. And she sucked the whole bucket like in one. And she didn't want to leave. This is where I stay. I don't care. And they would stay, you know, the whole day. They would just stay there. And in the evening, you know, some frantic man would come searching. After a few weeks, they already knew where. See, the sun is going down, and they are hiding somewhere behind the temple. And so he would come running and take it home. So sometimes, so therefore, yes, we should be careful about increasing the standards. Once the standard is set, what I remember. how to deal with this. Of course, we don't want to throw away 100%. Maybe we can somehow distribute or send it to the nearby other temple where there are more people. But usually, can think of something. You know, some of our temples, these temples are in such deep in the woods, you know, like just to the nearest village you have to walk for several kilometers. Nothing, I mean, there's nothing around. It's also not so good for animals either. It's not, they that doesn't improve their health either. If you know everything full of ghee and butter, they eat it, but it's not safe for them. Actually, some of the things I understand are even dangerous for them. So best is to consult the deity worship ministry, and in consultation, see how what should be done. I think here they increased the standard, but that was in consultation with Nrisimha Kavacha. Here. They added, I think, the noon offering, I think. Rajbog, yes. I remember I asked, I also, because all my friends got a Shalagram Shila, or two, or ten, or something, and they all started. Adi, where's your? You don't have a Shalagram Shila. Should we get your Shalagram Shila? And you know, and one month, 2 months, 1 year, 2 years. And, you know, I started thinking maybe that's true. Maybe I should get. You know, and then I happened to be with Nrisimha Kavacha, who's the deity worship minister, and I say, you know, all my friends, they say, why don't you worship a Shalagram Shila? He said, Adi, as a minister for deity worship, I'm telling you, you don't have to. Whatsoever, you should not get yourself your own personal deity or Shalagram Shila, and they are pushing you only to feel more secure themselves. That's why they are pushing you. Not because... So I have some Radha Krishna picture, Radha Shyama Sundar picture. And I have some simple worship. I have the verdict of the deity worship minister. Very clearly said, no, don't do this. They are just pushing you for themselves. All right, so any other points on deity worship? This was asked by Brahmatirtha in Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. He says, what if I... Do we have a perfect question? He says that, what if I'm not healthy? And this prasadam is not is heavy for me. So Prabhupada said, yes, you should not take. And this, usually, what does it mean? It means it's some fried and very fried, fatty and sugary. Right? This is what's heavy. Yeah. So,
does that mean that Krishna goes on a diet with you, or do you still cook fatty and sweet for Krishna? And
so it depends. In the temple, Krishna, that's festival food, and Krishna has no problem with festival food. He can eat festival food every day, 6 times a day. That's okay. Although sandesh has sugar, but it's not so bad. I know some temples, the whole temple went raw in Ukraine. The whole temple, all the brahmacharis, you know, chewing cabbage. And raw means it takes time, you know, to chew everything. And they asked Nilanjana Swami, they want to cook also, prepare for Krishna raw too. So Nilanjana Swami says, well, that's their personal dietary preference, but why torture Krishna? Don't torture Krishna. Krishna eats that, so give him that, not raw cabbage or something. So it seems that after 2 or 3 years, some of those brahmacharis have started getting problems with the raw diet again. So they now have a mixed, it's not, it has to be all done in a balanced way. So, how to solve the problem of opulent food? Get new bhaktas. That's for them. Yes. Yeah. Young, strong liver. I mean, for 1 year, nothing bad will happen. And if they take it for 1 or 2 years, nothing bad can happen in such a short time. And it's usually enough for the person to start loving prasadam, lose all taste for... Is it okay? Any? So as a festival food, you know, it means that sometimes it's fine, but not every day, six times a day. Then that's usually a problem. I heard that it can create different type of some difficulties can be there. I'm not expert. I've seen that after about 2 years, some people, it can give drastic improvement in some sickness, in some difficulties. But after 2 years, again, yes, as you say, it can create some other type of imbalance. Also, oftentimes it increases vata dosha, meaning, this is from Ayurveda. Yeah. So it needs to be properly balanced. Although it is, you can see our Madhu Manohar, right? He's healthy as anything, you know. It's like, but then again, some other people, they are not as healthy as he is. So, and you can see that he is actually balancing. And he grows his food. That's very important. Because if the plants are grown by you, I read that they adapt to your needs. You just go try his salad. I remember first time I took it, it's like a chapati, you know? The salad grows and thinks, my God, this guy eats nothing but salad. Okay, let's grow strong and sturdy to feed this guy. Yeah, some people say this, some people say spit in the hole, some people say just it's enough to walk barefoot. But anyway, if you actually grow your own food, it oftentimes will have something special. But that's a separate point. Okay, so. And Mahaprasad does have some magic power. I think, who has experienced some special influence of Mahaprasad? Yeah? I remember, this was when I came to Korsnäsgård in Sweden, the BBT, and I was just a fresh devotee, and my mind was going totally crazy, so disturbed. And I remember, evening we had Maha from the deities, and the mind, I remember these nice, beautiful sweets from Radha Gandharva Giridhari. And I remember I'm getting some sweets and I'm starting eating them, and the mind is. And it stops. Everything is good. It has a very subtle positive influence. Mahabharata. So it's all a question of. But again, you know, it's whether you honor it or you gorge on it. Yeah, if you honor, it's one thing. If we gorge ourselves on it, that's another thing. So if one is a young, you know, 19 years, 20 years old bhakta, you know, just like a horse, you know, running all day, okay, he can gorge, you know, no problem. But if he does it every day for 10 years... he'll be a senior devotee too soon. Prematurely. So that was Archana. Now the next one. again, it's humorous praise. Vyanja. It's like praising by criticism. Yeah, it's like the reverse praise. It's a famous verse also, saying that, my dear foolish friend, I think that you have already heard some Srimad Bhagavatam, which decries all these wonderful things, four goals of human life, economic development, fruitive activities, karma, economic development, artha, dharma, and moksha, liberation. I think now it is certain that the verses of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describing Krishna Lila entered your ear and already completely spoiled your heart. Now you have no attraction for artas, for goals, normal goals of normal people. You're attracted to Krishna. You fool! How you were so careless? You should have been careful. Carry earplugs, or don't go where they talk about Bhagavatam, about Krishna Lila, because you may lose taste for these other things. So Prabhupada uses this to also say that only one who studies Srimad Bhagavatam in the spirit of renunciation can understand the pastimes of the Lord, which are described in the 10th canto. So this means that we should hear from devotees. Sometimes Prabhupada says from pure devotees, meaning that people who do not put any other goal other than bhakti, and who also glorify bhakti as the ultimate duty of human life. Prabhupada oftentimes, you can see, it's quite interesting, Prabhupada very often speaks against professional Bhagavatam reciters. Even though in the West, who do we, you know, we don't have such a class. But he lived in Vrindavan and he has seen something of what's happening. And sometimes you can see in Vrindavan there are big posters, and sometimes 5,000 people get together to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, but the speaker is a total Mayavadi. He's a total Mayavadi. So if you listen like this, doesn't give you the proper result of attraction to Krishna. So Bhagavatam, you can see Bhagavatam is glorified as a very powerful method. Then the next one is seeing a devotee. So in these two, the deity and the Bhagavatam. So you can see what is the result of a little association with these processes. So Rupa Goswami is with this reverse praise. What does he say? What happens if you associate with the deity or the Bhagavatam? Taste, detachment from matter. Attachment to Krishna, detachment from matter. So this detachment, virakti, is one of the nine symptoms of bhava, mentioned in chapter 18. That's how it's proven that these elements have such a power, strong power. All right, so this was, Archana, Bhagavat, Shravan, Sadhu Sangha. Then Mahamantra. Quote about hearing Mahamantra from Narada Muni. So Mahamantra is the principal process. Principal process. Main process. Out of 64, 9 are the main processes. Out of 9, 3 are the most important. What are the 3 most important? Yes. And out of 3, if you select one, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says it's Nama Kirtan. So, because it has everything in it. And it's universal. Every other process requires something. But Nama Kirtan is universal, can be done by everybody and everywhere. No obstacles for that. And the fifth one, glorification of Vrindavan. So it says that Yamuna, Kadamba trees, they give transcendental realization of beauty and bliss. And Prabhupada writes, this feeling about Mathura Mandala and Vrindavan, described by Rupa Goswami, can actually be felt even by non-devotees. The places in the 84 square mile district of Mathura are so beautifully situated on the banks of the river Yamuna that anyone who goes there will never want to return to this material world. These statements by Rupa Goswami are factually realized descriptions of Mathura and Vrindavan. All these qualities prove that Mathura and Vrindavan are situated transcendentally. Otherwise, there would be no possibility of invoking our transcendental sentiments in these places. Such transcendental feelings are aroused immediately and without fail after one arrives in Mathura or Vrindavan. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. And Shri Navadip Dham Ki Jai. And also we have Jagannath Puri Dham, which is not Dwaraka, but it's Dwaraka in the mood of separation from Vrindavan. Dwarakadish in Jagannath Puri, Jagannath thinks, oh, Vrindavan is where my heart is. So, therefore, it's in our line. It's not outside. It's also it's mood of Vrindavan separation, which is also very wonderful. Who has been to Vrindavan or Navadvip? Obviously. Yes. This is your duty to visit. It's not about your pleasure. It's about serving Krishna. We go. It's a pilgrimage. We go there for Krishna's pleasure. It's one way of padasevana, engaging our capacity to move for Krishna. But yes, nowadays we can see Vrindavan TV, Mayapur TV. We can participate in lectures and also the temples. And when we remember and glorify, it's also Dham Seva. Service to the Dham. Some questions, comments here? There is no particular reason they are put in this order. So, I sometimes draw a diagram which I was surprised to find repeated by some people as very authorized, absolutely authorized, bona fide diagram. But this is just logical. I say that Every form of bhakti is dependent on sadhu sangha, devotee association. What I mean, cannot do anything without devotees. There's no form of devotional service we can do without devotees. Whether it's archana, you have to be initiated, you have to be taught, you have to, you know, so distribute prasadam to somebody. Some sadhu sangha must be there, right? Any form. And then the ideal perfection is Vrindavan or Mathura Vas or Vrindavan Vas, residing in Vrindavan. So this is, sometimes it's mentioned, yes, that this is the goal. You should all move to Vrindavan. At least in our heart, if not otherwise. Otherwise we visit. Prabhupada said we should, every year we should go to the Mayapur festival in Vrindavan. And one day, one year, one devotee came without his temple president. He came and he said, Prabhupada, I have saved thousands of dollars. I convinced all the devotees to stay back and not come to the Mayapur festival. And we have saved thousands of dollars. So Prabhupada said, did you think how much you would have saved if you've convinced them not to eat? That was Prabhupada's response. So he puts this, you know, it's a spiritual nourishment. So sometimes devotees think it's very difficult, but our Abhinandan Nitai always finds some flight to India and back for something like 300 euros. Every year he finds, you know, some. It's usually more, but sometimes there is some special deal